Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on Big Willie 105.5 and the River Talk Radio Network, a River Network production.
Download the River Network app and then click River Talk, and that way you'll get to hear what's going on here with my audio. You'll get to hear Dimitri live and dangerously local on Big Willie 105.5 and the River Talk Radio Network. We are here with two real heroes here in the Northern Panhandle, one of whom has the sniffles, and so try to ignore that. John Leonetti came off of his deathbed to come in here this morning to talk with us. Also, Brian Corwin, both from the Northern Panhandle of West Virginia. These are two heroes. These are citizens who are fighting the good fight for every taxpayer in the state of West Virginia, everyone who owns mineral rights, blowing the whistle on the incestuous relationship that the gas and oil operators have with the politicians in West Virginia. And the two heroes in Charleston seem to be Tom Willis in the Senate and Jimmy Willis in the House, not related, regarding this special bill. So let's talk a little bit more about this. This bill, Senate Bill 100, what is it now?
Five.
What is that going to do for my listeners?
Well, you know what? I'm going to let Brian take that one, because Brian, this is really a lot of, you know, this bill is Brian, you know, just based on his 15 years of dealing with these, you know, going in and out of courts, just learning what he's learned. And, you know, and we were talking last night, and Brian said it best, and I agree with him. I wish that we'd have had this bill. There's not one point in the last 15 years that I know myself, Brian, or, and this is also something to keep in mind, what we know right now, at least roughly, there's 100,000 mineral owners that physically live in this state. And that is a powerful voting demographic that I really wish some of these politicians would understand. And I believe Senator Willis does. And he's got the courage to put his name on this bill and really understands what this bill could do for the state. But Brian really is the best person to kind of articulate the points and why we need it, and,
all right,
and some examples too of what's happened to us over the years.
So why do we need it, Brian?
Well, the bill does a multitude of things. First of all, it codifies 25 years of West Virginia Supreme Court rulings on what deductions can and can't be taken out by the operators based on what the lease says. And I just want to speak on this. This means no more illegal deductions. I mentioned the Wellman case there that happened in the early 2000s. It was followed up by the Taney case. Taney, there again at the West Virginia Supreme Court level, Taney said that they had to specify the deduction that they wanted to take out, and they also had to specify a calculation for the deduction. And then most recently, the Romeo decision, which came down there last year, which was Romeo versus Antero. Every time the operators basically try to ignore what the court says. And so what they continually do is, even if the court says they can't take a deduction out, they'll do it anyway.
Well, are there no penalties?
No, there really aren't. I mean, ultimately,
don't we have an attorney general in West Virginia who could?
Well, we do have an attorney general, but whether he wants to go after the oil and gas companies would be the big question.
McCuskey?
Well, McCuskey hasn't been there really long enough to prove whether he would or wouldn't. I know that Morrissey was there for a very long time and did, you know, nothing in regards to the oil and gas companies.
Really? Because I thought he was a conservative, a Trump guy.
Here's the other thing, too. A lot of, and this is the one thing I've learned, and that's why I don't have really animus toward, you know, any of these politicians, because it got to the point where it's more important to focus on education than confrontation. Because really what it comes down to, when I talk to a lot of these senators and the delegates, they're all very, you know, very smart people. They just don't understand, or I shouldn't say understand, they just haven't gotten the information. And a lot of times the ones that I give the information to, you know, it's certainly very eye-opening, because
really,
a lot of times you just hear one side down there, because there's an army of oil and gas lobbyists down there.
When they say, oh, that's really interesting, John and Brian, I didn't know that, you know, this, that, and the other,
Do they actually follow through and change their voting, or are they just feeding you a line?
Well, we haven't really got to the point with some of the stuff that we've, you know, been involved in and introduced yet to kind of get to that point. But there are some definitely ones down there that I have definitely, it's definitely intriguing them to see, you know, to basically, you know, examine this problem further. Okay. And, you know, it's not just one issue. And this is the thing that Brian will talk about. There's a lot of issues.
All right. Well, this Senate Bill 1005, the Tom Willis bill in the Senate and the Jimmy Willis in the House, the Willis and Willis movement, I don't know. You say here establishes a mechanism to verify that payments are correct. The thing that I've always wondered is when the gas and oil people tell you how much they've pumped out, and here's the royalty, here's the money that, you know, is the, because of that, how do we know they're telling us the truth? Is there any independent state agency that can check? You look very cynical right now. Brian is looking very cynical right now.
Yeah.
How do we know these people aren't lying to us?
Well, yeah, Scott would be the great person to answer that question, but
Scott,
I guess
Scott is not here, yeah. But Brian is Brian.
Yeah, so in regards to that, yeah, the Fox essentially watches the hen house.
How is that even possible in West Virginia? How is that even possible that you would just say, oh, gas and oil people, we'll just believe whatever you're saying, and whatever number you come up with must be the right number, because you'd never lie to us. This is astonishing to me. I mean, really, there's no oversight by the state?
No, they simply report the number to the DEP. There is...
Does the DEP no check with the DEP?
No, the DEP does not judge
Feds. Do the feds do any kind?
No, the feds don't do anything.
No.
You gotta be kidding me.
Okay, I learned years ago that the West Virginia DEP does not judge the validity of the information that is provided by the operator. They only judge that the operator has provided the information.
That is mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
That is just mind-blowing.
Billion-dollar corporations that have been proven over and over again that they've, in a court of law, that they have, you know, that they've been dishonest at times.
Yeah.
And we're still basically going on the honor system from these corporations. That's why the public needs to organize, especially mineral owners, because we have a chance with this bill, Senate Bill 1005, to call down there and get them to pass this bill.
Question, do other states have mechanisms to check to make sure that they are, that the gas and oil people are not lying?
I'm not familiar with every state that oil and gas is produced in.
Texas, Pennsylvania, Ohio. There's got to be a state that oversees this.
I know that in the tri-state area there isn't. If there's any state that might, it might be Texas or Oklahoma.
You got to find out, because if there is one state, then maybe you could extrapolate and say, well, here's what they, you know, discovered, and the same ratios could apply here. I mean, this is astonishing. I can't believe what I'm hearing. I can't believe this.
It is pretty amazing. Yes, it is truly amazing that we have this entire Department of Environmental Protection that oil, office oil and gas, and they don't regulate any of that. They just collect information and disseminate it back out. So
they protect the companies.
Well, you could certainly say that.
I just did.
Yes.
Absolutely. More with this bill. Operators must pay three times the damages plus attorney fees if payments are incorrect. Why is that in there?
Well, that is in there to speak on exactly what you said before. Are there no penalties? And no, there aren't. See, so let's say the gas company owes you X number of dollars because they've been taking illegal deductions that have been based on case law they can't do. Well, historically, you have to go to court and you wrangle for years in court. And at some point, the court comes back and they say, well, okay, yep, they owed you that X number of dollars. We do have a little bit of a statute currently in West Virginia that'll give you a small amount of interest on that, but it's minuscule. But then you are still burdened with your attorney fees. And so essentially, the current system forces the lessor to go to court.
The landowner.
The landowner, go to court, fight in court, pay attorney fees, and ultimately only get the money that you were supposed, should have gotten without having gone to fight them.
You can't get punitive damages?
No, you cannot, and here's why. Because the everything stems from a contract dispute. you need to do a little research on what's called the gist of the action. The gist
in English, help me understand. Speak to me as if I'm a slow, dull child.
If you search the gist of the action doctrine in West Virginia, you'll find that essentially what this means is you have a contract with the gas company, and the improper royalty payments are simply a contract dispute. And because it's a contract dispute, punitive damages cannot be levied.
What a ripoff.
And so now this bill would change that, because this bill, one, it would make triple damages, but also it would could potentially bring punitive damages into play.
Oh, yeah.
Because now it's in its statute. See, right now it's case law. Case law isn't statute. Case law can be changed. I think probably the best example to give on this on a national level would be Roe versus Wade. Okay. You know, in the early 70s, you had the Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion, okay? And then here, just a few years ago, I can't remember the case, something Mississippi, I think it was, went to the United States Supreme Court.
Dobbs? Was it Dobbs?
Dobbs, yes, Dobbs. Okay. Yeah, the Dobbs case.
My God, I got it right.
Went to
I am stunned by what I just said.
That's good.
To the United States Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Mm-hmm. And so this is what can happen when you base things strictly on case law, because you aren't trying to sway a legislative body or anything like that. It's up to just a handful of judges. In West Virginia's case, Romeo v. Antero, the case was just decided last year. The landowners were victorious, Romeo,
great,
in a 3-2 margin.
Oh, wow.
But it's only 3-2.
Yeah.
So you're literally one heartbeat away,
sure,
from that changing. And interestingly enough, you probably don't know, but the gas company then wanted to have the case reheard. So we had to actually go through a second Romeo v. Antero case. And fortunately for the mineral owner, again, it came down on our side. But the reason we want to codify those things is so that it's not a fluidic, ever potentially changing interpretation of what they can and can't do. Because ultimately, you know, the case law that's been in there, Wellman, Taney, I mean, you're looking at 20 plus years that's been there. And people have made decisions. They've made lease negotiations, you know, at the advice of attorneys, because, well, they can't take deductions unless they say they can. Well,
right,
obviously, if a judge comes along and says, well, you know, I think maybe that court was wrong.
Yeah.
And that has happened in West Virginia, the Leggett versus EQT case, which involved the old flat rate royalty leases. And what they were doing was they were taking deductions out of the flat rate royalty leases.
You want to make this rock solid, carved into stone. Nobody,
yes,
can screw with this, bottom line, right?
Correct.
Exactly.
All right.
Yes.
Next, creates a public website for pay prices, severance tax, and production. What does that mean?
Yeah, so, I mean, what we want to try to achieve is truly transparency. You know, for example, I mean, I see where, you know, one operator pays this price, another operator pays a different price, and it may have absolutely no correlation to what the seemingly market price is. And I think that should be put out there by the operators, as well as the amount of severance tax that they're paying. You know, they pay 5% of everything they take in as severance tax to the state, and production from these wells. It all needs to be out there, readily available for people to see it. Because if the information's available, people can look at it. And ultimately, you know, what we hope is that you get all the minerals owners in the state of West Virginia taking an active role in essentially policing the operators.
You can't do that now. You can't force the operators to disclose this information.
No, you're lucky to get anything.
What a wreck.
Well, I mean, look at my case. You know, I'm almost literally just about maybe a week away from my 4-year anniversary of when Jamie filed. And
Jamie Bordas.
Yeah.
Good man, good company.
And
Bordas.
It took us almost a year and a half and two motions to compel, and the operators had to be overridden twice, once by a federal magistrate and another by a federal judge, to give up the discovery. That's how difficult it is just to get...
They want to drag everything out to cost you money.
Right.
How much have you spent with lawyer fees so far?
Right now, I probably don't want to get into that, you know, right
six,
now.
Six figures?
Oh, yeah.
It probably yeah. It'll probably end up being close to that, you
oh,
know.
Oh, my God.
But that's
oh,
the thing. This
God.
Bill gives the average mineral owner a fighting chance out there of actually getting the information that they want to request to verify. Because, you know, it's like what Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. We don't have any mechanisms in place for mineral owners to verify certain
prices.
They could
be lying about every damn thing and probably could have been lying from day one, and there's no way for anybody in the state or in Ohio or Pennsylvania to even know if they're telling us the truth. That's what you're saying, right?
I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying we don't have a... They could, but I'm just saying the bill that Brian basically, you know, crafted out of this gives the mineral owners the mechanism to do that. Just and not just high-dollar mineral owners. We're talking just maybe an average mineral owner.
Sure, sure. More with a very special guest here, John Leonetti, and also Brian Corwin. These are real heroes, local heroes. They talk the talk, and they obviously walk the walk, putting up tens of thousands of dollars a piece. May end up being hundreds of thousands of dollars to help you and everybody else with all of this.